Good afternoon and welcome. This is the hybrid special commission meeting of September 9th, 2021. During this hybrid special commission meeting, the City Commission is physically present in the Commission Chamber, Miami Beach City Hall. The public is encouraged to attend the meeting virtually. However, members of the public who wish to attend or provide public comment in person may appear at the Commission Chamber. While at City Hall, members of the public are required to wear facial coverings and observe social distancing consistent with CDC guidance to limit the spread of COVID-19. To participate or provide comment virtually during the special commission meeting, the public may join the meeting by visiting the Zoom app on their smart device at zoom.us or by telephone at 1-301-715-8592 or toll-free, and I choose the toll-free option, 888-475-4499. That's 888-475-4499, and the webinar ID number is the following. You probably should write it down, so get a pen. I'll say it twice, 813-928-5767-1#. That's 813-928-5767-1#. If you want to speak virtually on an item, and we aren't going to have a whole lot of public comment during this meeting, click the raise hand icon if you're using the Zoom app, or press star 9 on the telephone to raise your hand. With this, I'd ask Joe Manning if you'd come and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Sorry to put you on the spot, Joe.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. Okay. Mr. Clerk, what announcements do we have?
I have no announcements, sir. We may begin the meeting.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to do with the schedule. So we're not going to do the we had called this meeting really for our ad valorem assessment, which we're required to do, but we cannot do until 5 o'clock, or actually 5:01 by law. There's somebody sitting in Commissioner Richardson's seat. He looks lighter than Commissioner much lighter than Commissioner Richardson and with something on his face, but we'll take that, and it's not a mask. We'll take that. Congratulations, Commissioner Richardson. You look very healthy. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do those ad valorem items. So those of you watching, we're going to do those items at 5:01, and they're going to be, if you're waiting, you don't have to worry until 5:01. We're going to do the ad valorem assessments. We're going to do the Biscayne Bay Security Guard. We're going to do the Biscayne Point, as well as the Biscayne Point Security Guard special taxing then. So we're going to move now to the R9s, and here's what I'd like to do to begin. A whole slew of us have put this on the agenda for a public safety meeting. I'm going to begin by asking our city manager and our police chief to give us an update before we go to the agenda. Alina?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. And it's nice to be back from our summer break. I look forward to our fall. Mr. Mayor and honorable commissioners, I have asked our entire command staff to be here today, and I've asked senior leaders in our city to be here today in preparation for this conversation, because I think it's very important to have a conversation about South Beach and the area that we affectionately refer to in so many different acronyms, as the ADCD, as the MXE, as all the different iterations over the last 20 years of what that area has become known as. And I think that when we have that conversation, and we've had that conversation as a city so many times, and all of them predate me over, again, the last 20 years, that the conversation always turns to policing, and it always turns to what can the police department do. And after spending many hours with our command staff, not only in person, in meetings, but also on the streets of our city in the last 4 months in my tenure as your city manager, I believe very strongly that anything and everything that that we have to do relative to our city services and our capabilities and our ability to change what's happening in that area has to be comprehensive. There's a discussion that has to happen over here about the business model, and there's a conversation about city services and what we can and cannot do. So the LTC that I shared with all of you September 3rd was a conversation about city services and a comprehensive approach, a unified approach on the part of all of our leadership, including myself, and I intend to meet with our team every Monday, every Tuesday, and at one point I'm going to shift the meeting out to the field and we're going to walk the streets to make sure that we understand and see and experience everything that our residents, that our visitors are experiencing. So what I have outlined for all of you and I've shared with all of you and I distributed again to all of you today is a strategy that will evolve. This is my first really stab at being able to describe to you what I expect from our senior staff and what I expect from our police and all of our code enforcement capabilities, our parking enforcement. And it's a strategy that speaks to additional policing, which, again, this city has historically done in a very targeted way, very specific to what we affectionately and not affectionately refer to as high-impact periods. Quite frankly, I feel that it has become a high-impact period every weekend since I became the city manager. This is not about Memorial Day. This is not about a special event. This is not about something that happens every weekend. Every single member of my staff deals with a high impact situation. And so I want to make sure that we're very clear. We are not about a high impact strategy. We're about it 7 days a week, 24-hour strategy, where our city and our administration is dedicated to improving what we're all seeing out in the South Beach area. First and foremost, police. I asked and directed our police chief to look at our capacity, to look at our current situation. It's no secret that we have an ongoing cycle of retirement, and we also have a tremendous impact to our department, to all of our departments as a result of COVID and COVID exposures. So at any given day, we're not at our full capacity. And that's our reality, and that's what we deal with. And so our numbers fluctuate and our capabilities fluctuate as a function of that. But I have asked him and I've directed, and he has come back with a plan that reassigns an average of 40 officers, depending on the time of day and the time of the week, to our streets. And he can go into that plan in great detail. I've asked him very specifically to revisit our off-duty program. It's common knowledge that it's difficult to implement our off-duty program as it is currently envisioned by ordinance because we have difficulty in being able to fill the spots that are required. So he has prepared a package for me that I received yesterday and that I will be reviewing again with our command staff and looking at opportunities to increase our rate to be able to attract the type of officer that we want working these off-duty opportunities at all of our local businesses and establishments. We've given a lot of consideration to the proper staffing pattern, and it would be really easy for me as your city manager to just sit here and ask you for additional resources. I could sit here right now and say, I need 25 more cops, and I need 20 more enforcement officers. I think that would be grossly irresponsible of me. And I have asked Matrix Consultant, who has a history of doing analysis of our staffing patterns in our city, to come on board and to work with me and work with our chief financial officer and our command staff and review what the appropriate staffing analysis might be for our police department to use the national benchmarks and make sure that we're properly staffed and make sure that we give you a number that's real. We know that we've recommended additional resources not only in our current budget through your leadership, but also for our proposed budget that you will be considering in the coming weeks. Our code compliance, I've asked all of our departments to partner in a unified way and be walking side by side with our officers, code compliance, and Hernan is here and prepared to report to you on the additional resources that I've asked him to dedicate to walking with police and being able to elevate enforcement to another level. The fire department, our fire chief I know is here somewhere. There you are, Virgil. Our fire department side by side will also be participating in this unified enforcement effort. Our housing and community services team and our homeless outreach team, we have a homeless outreach team in our police department, housed in our police department, that provides, you know, outstanding service. But we also have in our housing and community affairs a wraparound team that provides services and that can assist all of the people that we have in our streets in great need. And so together, they are going to be initiating a very targeted approach, again, in a unified way. Our parking department is enhancing their enforcement capability together with the unified team. And I keep using the word unified because these are not departments that are going to, the parking department is going to do this and the code department is going to be, no, they are going to be side by side. We are going to be together every Monday morning in my office. We are going to be reviewing the results of what the experience has been the previous week. And we're going to discuss ideas and evolution of what else can we possibly do. I've also asked all of the departments to accelerate any hiring. As most of you know, we don't hire until our budgets are approved. And we have some additional resources that, again, through your leadership, all of you, you've made available to us when the budget gets approved, effective October 1st. I'm not waiting till October 1st, respectfully. I have asked everyone to start the recruitment process immediately. I believe that I have your support. You have certainly given me your full support, and I've asked everyone to accelerate that hiring process. But again, I don't want to give anyone who's listening or watching or here participating a false expectation. Hiring police officers takes a long time. There is a process by which, and we know what policing has become in this country, and we know that an application process that in the past yielded perhaps 1,000 applicants today yields 250, and those applicants have to be screened. So the hiring process isn't something that today I'm going to have an additional X number of cops and tomorrow they're going to be in the street. There's a training element. There's obviously a process by which that happens, and we are accelerating that. And again, through all of your leaderships, you've approved an additional bonus to make it more attractive to come work here. You've approved a housing initiative and a housing allowance that is going to make it more attractive to come work here. So we sincerely, as an administration, appreciate that, and we intend to use that and do everything we can to be properly staffed. And I've asked all the public safety departments to make sure that we're always ahead of the retirement curve and that we're always projecting ahead in preparation for the way that people retire and the projections for how people retire. Our park rangers, our parks department, so important to our quality of life. The director is here, and he has met with his park rangers. He has asked, again, for an elevated level of service on the part of our park rangers, and they're part of the team, and they're also by our side. Our public works and facilities and fleet management team, we want to make sure that our streets are clean, that our sanitation people are out there. I think those of you who live here know how hard we work and how hard our sanitation crews work to keep our city beautiful. And they are a part of the team. I am monitoring and will be monitoring, and our CFO is part of the conversation, what the additional expenses might be long term. But for now, I believe that we have flexibility within the budgets that you have approved and authorized to allow us to be able to have this and to use our existing resources and redirect them in a way that creates this unified approach. That's my summary of the initiative that I have embarked upon together with our team. It is very personal for me. I am extraordinarily proud to be your city manager. I have spent the last 4 months, with the exception of some medical issues in August, every weekend on the streets with our police and fire and code enforcement officers. And I fully intend to continue to do that. And I hope that we can come back to you every month, whatever reporting mechanism you'd like to implement to be able to update you on everything that we are doing.
Okay, before I get to commissioners, any other presentations from the department, or can we go right over to the commissioners? Alina.
Whatever level of detail, I would like to recognize, and Commissioner Miner had asked me to invite the director of the Miami-Dade Police Department, and he is here. Freddie Ramirez is here. I don't know whether you'd like to hear from Freddie at this time. I'm, again, honored that he's here. He and I worked together for many years for Miami-Dade County, and he is a true partner, and whenever we pick up the phone and we call Miami-Dade Police for additional support, we always get it, as well as other municipalities that support us. And right now, Freddie has made available 10 additional additional officers that come here every weekend and are part of this plan. They were here this weekend, and so I don't know whether you'd like to hear from Freddie. He is here, so if you would, Director Ramirez is here and
available. Here's what we'll do. And first of all, why don't you come up? Commissioner Minor, you asked to be recognized. I'm going to go through the commissioners who've raised their hands. We'll go to you first. Do you want me to ask, because I want to keep our Metro-Dade chief here for as little time as possible. Can I have him come up now, and then you can ask him some questions if you'd like? But come on up. And by the way, thank you very much. And I also, although she's not here, want to thank the county mayor. Over the course of the time that I've been mayor, at least, and I suspect Mayor Jimenez was the same, every time we've called over to the county, you all have always showed up, and I know we're very grateful to you. Our city is a major economic engine. I always point this out. Almost all of our major crime, frankly, is the perpetrators tend to be visitors, and the victims tend to be visitors because it's a place of opportunity, obviously, with so many people coming from all over the world to spend money and to spend their time. So it's important to the county as well, since we're an economic engine far, far beyond our little city. But you could not appreciate that, but you all have. And I am, on behalf of our residents, we're very grateful. Metro-Dade doesn't think of us as an adjacent community. It thinks of us as part of its own. So Commissioner Minor, you're recognized. And why don't you, you can talk to him and then proceed with whatever else, because you were one of the commissioners that asked for this meeting.
Sure, and thank you for being here. And it's, you know, often when I ask questions of someone, we've kind of gone through it, but we haven't even spoken other than briefly running into each other in the elevator. And really my questions, and I've mentioned this to Alina, and I guess I mentioned it to you, is we sort of are facing a sense of urgency. We have a lot of residents, certainly specifically in the South Beach area, who are raising the alarm loud and clear that they're changing their routines, they're changing their lifestyle because of a sense of what they sense as not feeling as safe as they had been in the past. And certainly, Aline is correct. We can't go out and hire 25, 50 officers at the snap of the finger, but to the extent that you can provide that help. I mean, we did have an incident at the end of Memorial Day weekend, but that weekend was probably the most visible between our police force, which was working on Alpha Bravo, and your staff. I mean, it was very visible. It was very obvious. And I personally believe if we were able to sustain that even for a month or so, that we would make a dent. And there's a lot of other issues that we're going to talk about and short-term rentals and all of that. But I firmly believe that the zero-tolerance police high-level visibility will absolutely make a concrete dent in what we're seeing right now. And to the extent we can get the assistance from any law enforcement that can lend it would be a tremendous value to us.
Thank you, Commissioner. First, I'd like to say good afternoon, Mayor. Good afternoon, Madam City Manager and Commissioners. It's an honor to be here before you, Madam Commissioner as well. I'd also like to give a big thanks to Miami Beach Police Department when we went through the terrible tragedy of Surfside. The first department that was there by our side to help us was Chief Rick Clement and his personnel, who helped us navigate, you know, this area, helped us set up our command post, and they brought an invaluable resource to us. And that shows our partnership. I have good relationships with all our chiefs. We have a very unique police community here in Miami-Dade County. But the one chief that I collaborate the most with is with Chief Rick Clement. Even when he doesn't ask for resources, I always reach out to him, make sure if he needs anything. His police department does an outstanding job, and I see us all as a law enforcement. Even though we're Miami-Dade Police, we're the eighth largest. We're a family. When we experienced our challenges this summer with the gun violence that you saw, that became national, terrible tragedies that were happening. The mayor came, developed her peace and prosperity plan, and part of that plan was Operation Summer Heat. Operation Summer Heat is not just a Miami-Dade Police plan. It's a Miami-Dade Chiefs Police Department plan in which the City of Miami Beach participates in that as well, where there's collaborative meetings every week, sharing of intelligence. We do strategic enforcement, community outreach, because the issue is in policing in today's world, it's not zero tolerance. And I need to make that very clear, because whatever crime plan that you come up with, you cannot cause a lack of distrust with the community. Whatever plan is developed has to have that buy-in to ensure that the community is safe and that no one's being singled out. The plan here is to keep our community safe, everyone in the community. During this plan, we made nearly 1,500 felony arrests, took about 700 firearms off the streets, which involved the city of Miami Beach and other police departments. Our murder rate has gone down. It was said that this summer was going to be a bloody summer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I could tell you that did not happen. In Miami-Dade right now, there's 67 murders. We're down 4. When summer heat started, we were up 12. And a lot of the murders that we've had since summer heat are domestic and other issues or arguments that weren't of the method of what we were seeing with targeted gun violence. And the reason why is the community is giving us information. We're communicating. They have trust, so much so that we re-upped the operation to December. Now, in terms of our resources that are provided to Miami Beach, I am providing 10 officers Friday, 10 officers Saturday till December. And Chief Clement knows I'm a phone call away. I have rapid deployment forces. I have priority response team. I have other officers that if anything are to pop up, we will respond there. We have great dialogue. We work together. There is no communication issues. And that I can assure you, the Miami-Dade Police Department is here for you. We recognize that the face of Miami-Dade County, people come here to come to Miami Beach. And when you talk about outsiders and criminal behavior, we're seeing that in our airport. We police the airport. We have very similar challenges that you've been experiencing here is happening in the airport. So much so that I had to pretty much reevaluate how we're policing the airport to ensure that we have safety. And you're seeing this around the country. Around there's nearly 4,000 incidents, I think, reported by the TSA with disturbances and issues in the airport. And why do people come to Miami? To come to Miami Beach. What do they use? The airport. So this affects all of us. But what's important, and I have full faith in Chief Clement's strategy, that we're strategic in what we do, we're transparent in what we do, and we always take into account the community, and that we have that community buy-in. And as long as you have that community trust, they will stand with you, and we will together keep this community safe.
Commissioner
Thank you for that, and I appreciate it. I guess I will continue to reiterate, again, we have a finite force. We are dealing with an issue in a really a finite area of our city. It really encompasses our whole city. I don't want to leave out because it does spread.
Yes.
It does spread. And by the way, I don't mean to sound I don't want to sound overly negative either because we have incredible things going on. The amount of residents that are moving in from the Northeast and from Los Angeles and California, the businesses that are coming here. We have so many great things. But that's such the hard part about this is because we're letting this sort of metastasize a little bit too much. And I guess I continue to say, and I don't have access to your deployment and your force. All I'm saying is to the level that you can provide that help. Memorial Day, I know, is only one weekend, but we had a couple hundred extra officers. And I'm saying what I would, if I had my wish list, we'd get that for a month or two till we get through this. And I think the message would be sent out loud and clear that you're not going to come to Miami Beach and you're not going to mess around, and there's going to be consequences to pay.
Unfortunately, in giving 100 officers every weekend, unfortunately, I cannot do that unless it was a real big immediate emergency because I have 1.9 residents of Miami-Dade County that need service. I got to make sure that gun violence doesn't go up. There's a lot of needs in our community. And why I always bring up community, look at the other cities around the country that are of our size, and I consider you part of Miami-Dade County. Their murders are in the 300. They have community distrust. There's issues. There's breakdowns. The police departments are broken. We do not have that. We have 67 murders. I think you have 5. Cities like Chicago and New York are in triple digits. Think about the professionalism. We all have our issues that happen in policing. Look how professional the policing is here in Miami-Dade County. All the municipalities working together, the training, the trust. And when we have issues, we deal with it. And that's Shirley Plankton, the CRP, our community leaders, Tangela Sears, Terry Elliott, all these people, the Circle of Brotherhood, who have access to us because that is important. If you take a zero tolerance, and I understand this police terminology, you will lose the community. You put the police officers in a bad position, you will not get anything done. However, your strategy that you have in place, high visibility, dialogue, quality of life issues, strategic enforcement, communication amongst other police departments and the community, you will curb the violence. And in the big picture, I know you've seen terrible crimes like the tourist that was killed last week. Those type of killings are very difficult to stop someone who just decides to shoot an innocent person. You can have 5 police officers around that circle. So you cannot control somebody's will to do evil. Someone who has evil to hurt somebody. What I do know is that your police responded immediately and made the arrest, and that person will no longer victimize this community. And now we have to look at that family and providing resources and while they go through that grieving process, because now you have the people who are left behind. But I have full confidence in the strategy here. You have my backing, sir. I'm a phone call away. I'm 5 miles away from your jurisdictions. My officers work 24 hours a day. They're highly trained and ready to serve, and they're committed. And we're here for you, sir.
Well, thank you for that. And certainly, I guess the bigger question I have in my head, and we'll never know the answer to this, but why would someone like you mentioned who did the shooting, why would he come here, and why would he come to Ocean Drive? It's a rhetorical question. But the point is, you know, I love stats. Anybody who knows, I'm always asking for data. But to me, it's more than data. It's how people feel. Perception is reality. And right now, the perception among our residents who are living in this area, it's really, really poor. And we need to turn that around. And a lot of it, I agree with you. It's not the police sort of inherited, our police force inherited this problem. And we are probably over relying on them, but there's other things we need to do. We're policymakers here on the commission, and we need to make some heavy decisions, and we're starting to. But at the same time, until we get through that, we are relying heavily on our police force to keep the law and order.
Sir, and you have my support. We're here for you.
Anybody else want to? I'm going to keep you, but before we thank you and tell you to go to other parts of the county. Is there anyone else who'd like to talk? Yes, too. Let's address it to him, because then I'm going to go back.
Yeah, no, I'm going there. Thank you, Mayor. Director Ramirez, first, good to see you again. Thank you so much for coming. We're very grateful for your support. You bring a broad perspective. You see other municipalities. You see the county. So I would just love your 50,000-foot view of what you and your team see on South Beach. And if you were giving us advice today, what would you say?
What I see is a very active police department that's engaged. And I know this from the dialogue that I have with Chief Clement. He calls. We, as I mentioned earlier in my comments, we're always strategizing. I'm always at his disposal for resources. His men and women are capable and have been handling the challenges. Your city manager gave an operational plan that is exactly what I would do in a situation, which was multi-pronged, from high visibility, strategic enforcement, code enforcement, parks, homeless, dealing with all the issues that would trigger quality of life issues or attract criminal behavior, and also maintaining community trust, which is very important, and feeling safe by your partners in the community, in the business community, to feel safe, then coupled with whatever municipal laws that you decide to change or adjust to help support the police response. But from what I see here is that you have a strategy in that particular area, because you have a residential component as well, apartment complex, and you have this entertainment district. From what I understand, it has over 40 officers there for that small area, which is appropriate. And they're working extended shift, and he has my support for whatever additional resources which I've provided to provide support. So his main officers who know the community, because that's the other component as well, my officers come from UMSA, Northside, South District, Hammocks. His officers know the business in the community. They handle that component. We are there to provide support. And if anything were to happen, he needs to handle a call somewhere else, we're there to help him.
Thank you.
Sure.
Did you have your hand up?
I have a question.
Okay. Commissioner Richardson.
I have a question. So thank you, Director, for being here. And thank you for all the service to our community and to Surfside. You mentioned in your comments about a national issue, and it's true, we are experiencing a national epidemic of gun violence right now, more so than we had an issue before, but it's become even greater. And, of course, we're charged with looking at the issue locally, right? But you're looking at what's going on nationally, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts for us about why we're seeing this national epidemic right now, and are there things that are being done in other communities that we should look at here in our model?
Well, that's a great question. The gun violence of now is not the same gun violence of before, where it was turf war, rudimentary type violence of gangs. Now it's in the internet. A lot of our gun violence is a result of beefs on posts, rap videos that are done and calling each other out. Some of it is mental illness. Some of it is from coming out of the pandemic, being locked up for over a year, and this overzealousness. It's just a lot of intangible components, fraud, COVID fraud, all kinds of components like that that are now the factor. So we leverage technology. I understand that you have a real-time crime center. You have technology that you're leveraging in your area. Monitor social media. We have our Fusion Center, which communicates to share any information or tips. Encourage your community to call in any suspicious incidents that are going on. They see suspicious activity. You need to know that. Your community is the biggest asset for the police because we're only finite in what we have. But if our business leaders and our residents are vigilant and provide that info, we can mitigate a situation before it happens because that's the key. It's not so much to throw someone in jail. It's to stop the problem before it happens. And I think you have a great model here to do that. This is a progressive police department, a progressive city. This is a progressive county altogether. And you don't have to worry about silos that we don't communicate. You need to know that there's 3,100 officers in my department that are standing willing and able with our resources to assist you, and plus the other municipal partners like the City of Miami and everybody else in Coral Gables, who's here as well, even school board that's assisted. I know in some of the other issues when we were dealing with Surfside, they kind of picked up that slack for us in supporting Chief Clement. So I think if you look at us, as I mentioned earlier, compared to other cities that are similar, we have our issues, but we're nowhere near that. And one of the reasons we're having I'm here talking to you, you know, that dialogue, that connection, that's that intangible, that's priceless. Of what we have here. There's no egos here. We all want the same thing, and we all depend on each other.
Thank you. I just have one more question, if I could. One of the issues that I often hear about is the prosecution of crimes. And I know our state attorney well from my days in Tallahassee, and I intend to have a private conversation with her to get her input. But there is at least a perception that, you know, we can't get the drugs off the street because we can't get the prosecutions. You know, they get arrested and they're immediately back on the street. And I wonder if you could comment what's going on in other communities in Miami-Dade County, and then also what's going on nationally. Is there an issue nationally with prosecuting some crimes, and especially drug-related crimes, and maybe a lack of interest in doing that? Because I feel strongly that it's unfair for our police to go out and do their job and arrest people if we can't get a prosecution. So could you comment on that?
Absolutely, I can. First, in terms of Kathy Rundle, and we talk about our state attorney in Summer Heat, she gave me two prosecutors to enhance our capabilities. She is a partner in this process. The moment we started, she's always been having dialogue with me on how to, you know, with the gun violence, but she provided me assets to help prosecute these cases. Now, you have to know that the criminal justice system, and we got to be candid here, has changed over the years. I mean, and we're talking about violence, but tomorrow we'll have a talk about, you know, the civil citation program and other issues that are relative that the community wants. The community are asking for these things. You're seeing changes in the way certain crimes are being looked and how it's approached in terms of law enforcement. And that is a national narrative. It's been around for a long time. It's the evolution of police. Now, in terms of prosecutors, I don't want to speak for Ms. Rundle, but she has brand new attorneys. She was affected by COVID. She's hiring new attorneys. You know, you got to look at your judicial system and what's their expectations. They may not believe that incarceration for marijuana is the answer. They may believe in more of a progressive approach, you know, rehabilitation process. So as a law enforcement officer, you have to do what, I'm not going to sit and point fingers. What I'm going to do is work with the system and be innovative and ensure that my officers are protected, that they're safe, that they're following the law, and that this community is safe. So that's the way I see it. We just evolve and deal with what's in front of us. I'm not going to sit and point fingers at anything like that. Because a lot of these policies are in place because they were elected into place. It is the will of the community. So it's our challenge to adapt and always maintain that trust. And here we are, we're talking about violence, and other communities are saying, defund the police, we don't want you here. Well, I'm honored that we're all here because you want us here. And I think that's because we provide professional policing, and we recognize how important our role is, and we appreciate your support.
So just to follow up on that, if I could, you get to see a lot of communities in Miami-Dade County. Do you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but perhaps I am. Do you feel like that your officers are making arrests in other parts of Miami-Dade County that don't get prosecuted?
I'm sure there may be cases where they make an arrest. We make the arrest, and it doesn't make it through the judicial system. It could be that it doesn't meet the benchmark, the judge doesn't agree with it, or it wasn't papered appropriately. There's issues with it. Remember, our criminal justice system, what makes it so strong, there is a scrutiny process, you know. But when I do know that my officers have made nearly 1,400 felony arrests, and I've seen my gun violence go down, I'm seeing results, you know. And I see that my community is not upset at our police department. I see them saying, that's what I look at. That's what matters. Outside of all that, the numbers, what matters to me is that when I look at my murder board, it's going down. When I see my contact, non-contact shooting going down like it is, when I see my complaints are low, when I see that my officers are safe, and I see that my community is not upset, to me, that's how I gauge success. The other stuff beyond that is beyond my control. All I could do is work with what's in front of me, keep my officers educated, and keep that trust with the community. And I keep saying that because that's the fuel that keeps these plans going and keeps our community safe.
Thank you, Director, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we still got a few more.
Ready?
Commissioner Gangora for the encore.
No, I don't have any questions, okay. Chief. I'm ready to move on.
Commissioner Minor? I have a question, but I was going to let you complete.
I have some comments, but not really a question.
I do have a question for you. Okay. So, you know, first of all, people have to understand you're responsible for 2.8 million people, about half of whom live in municipalities. Not all of those municipalities even have their own police department. So you have your department covers a broad area. And the thing that I have found most challenging, and I appreciate the help we always get from the county. But I think the one thing that is a little unique about our city is that our police are really policing a playground of other people. The best way to look at it, I mean, almost all these terrible crimes, and even a lot of the much smaller crimes which build the ground for that, are from, frankly, smaller kinds of offenses that you might not prosecute somewhere else because you are balancing the community, you're balancing resources. Right. But the challenge we have is that our residents are rarely arrested and are rarely victims. Right. But on the other hand, they live in this area, and it's more and more are living in this area, and the result has become almost incompatibility with the amount of small and major crime that's happening. And so for our police, they are arresting quite a bit.
Right.
Our per capita arrest rate is much higher than I think just about any other city in Dade County, and certainly higher than any of the large cities by a lot. So the question really is, what could the county do in terms of a policing strategy for this very specific kind of challenge? Because in other communities, you can put the word out that if you come here, it's going to be bad for you if you're committing a crime. For us, it's 25,000 people on Friday getting off the plane and not caring what happened and who was arrested on Thursday. Right. They're just here to go have a good time for a rite of passage, for whatever. And although some and most, frankly, are here for just the reasons we would hope, too many are coming with other intentions, or they get drunk or high and do things that are unacceptable by civilized people. So I guess the question is, we have one of the more unique challenges. And I swore in a new police officer this morning, and I always say to them, you're in a very unusual department in that you're going to be asked to do things that most other cops don't have to do all day long, because it's just not another little plot of land like our entertainment district or our South Beach that attracts this convergence of people, most of whom are here to enjoy our beaches and our bars and restaurants and hotels. But even if just a small percentage of 25,000 are a problem, that's more than most departments will have to deal with in an entire year. So what could the – and I don't know if you can even answer that, but I guess from my pitch would be that's our challenge, because all those people giving you a problem at the airport, I know where they're – if you don't stop them, I know where they're going. Okay, I know exactly where they're going. And they don't know who you arrested on Wednesday. They don't know who you arrested a month ago. The word doesn't get out because they've never been. It's the first time out of Minnesota, and they're happy to be here. And unfortunately, too many of them are just getting a little bit out of control, and some worse than that. And our residents can't deal with it,
right?
Because it's just not. It's like someone explained it to me, you know, and they tried to say it in an apologetic way. People are coming here for a rite of passage. And I'm like, well, this is my neighborhood. Okay, nobody wants to be somebody else's rite of passage. And so and when it gets worse than that, it's obviously beyond unacceptable. So I don't know. I think that that's got to be our challenge because it's gotten worse. And it's not anyone's fault in a sense that this is who's coming here. But what can we do to repel it, to control it, to... Right.
Well, here's an example. We take a page from the airport, right? We were connected. What is the dialogue now that you're hearing now? The alcohol sales? Should they give alcohol on the boat, on the plane? What are the issues that are triggering behavior for that small amount of people who don't respect this beautiful community that come here and cause a lot of havoc? And then, yes, they go to jail, but the going to jail process times itself out for the amount of time that they're here. They're not here for long periods of time, from what I understand. So that's why you have to, like I said, you have to adapt to the challenges. Exactly what the police chief and the city manager are saying, high visibility presence of police. So when that individual comes and decides to pop off, they see officers where they need to be active, professional and polite and visible. They think twice. The one that decides to do whatever, regardless of the fact, they'll face the consequence and they'll end up going to jail. But yes, you have our community that lives amongst that. Just like in our airport, we have local people who live here, use the airport, and then you come across those waves of individuals who come and cause a ruckus. It's just something that we're dealing with in our society. It's probably a global messaging process that needs to be done. It's difficult. We have to look at certain aspects of how we're providing our portfolio of what we provide to mitigate that problem so it doesn't overtake our community, which from 50,000 feet, from what I look at, and you look at the numbers, we're not like those communities, but we don't want to be those communities. And I think you have a great strategy here, and you have the Miami-Dade Police's support.
Well, I guess the only thing I'd add, and we thank you for your time, is that obviously, as we go through this, we shouldn't be afraid to come up with responsive strategies, because I think it's evolved over the last few years, certainly over the last decade, but really over the last few years. And frankly, since this pandemic ended, it's been a whole different kind of challenge, but not one that I think we can't handle. But we need to know what you all think we should be doing. And I really contend on behalf of our residents, for you and the mayor, and Mayor Jimenez beforehand, we're very grateful for the help. I know you got a lot of other things, and sometimes it feels like we're asking a lot, but I think you recognize that it's a countywide.
Absolutely.
We are policing a lot of an area that is an economic engine for the region, and I think a lot of our residents would just assume, I get an immense amount of emails from people saying, upset that I haven't closed down the causeways, and I have to explain to them that we're not allowed to. And when we did do it, I actually got a call telling me I wasn't allowed to do it, and we did it anyway, but we can't keep doing that because at some point we're going to get in a lot of trouble. But that's not going to be the solution. So anyway, thank you for your time. And Commissioner Minor, thank you for your polite request for him to come. I think that was helpful, and we appreciate always you and more importantly, your officers, because they're the ones out there protecting our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Manager. Thank you, Commissioners. My honor, and we're always a phone call away. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Minor, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, and thank you for coming. So I recall, along with Commissioner Gongora, we each, I guess, independently requested that we have a special meeting, but I specifically said that I didn't want it to be just a lot of talk. So I'm not sure we're going to vote on anything. I may propose something, but really there are some concrete solutions we need, because we can talk about this, and we have talked about this ad infinitum, and we've made some progress, but we need to make changes. We need a sense of urgency, and I respect all the opinions that we hear, but quite frankly, I actually disagree with some of what I heard. I heard that there's an evolution in the prosecutorial methodology. That may be. That's actually a true statement. I disagree with it. And if nobody calls it out, if we don't call it out for what it is, then we're going to keep getting what we're getting. So So, for example, I actually brought this up about over a year ago, and I was, and the city manager at the time arranged a meeting that I had with our head lobbyist, and he said, well, you'd need a constitutional amendment in Miami Beach to get Miami Beach judges. So, and you're never going to get it. You're never going to convince Tallahassee, and so you might as well give it up. But I don't give up easily, and I was able to arrange some meetings with some legislatures in Tallahassee, but they've told me, you need data. And maybe it's pie in the sky. Maybe I'm going down, but I'm not giving up. So I need the data. So I've been working with our city manager. I've been working with the chief. It's been 9-10 months. I give credit. It took a little while, but I give credit. We're getting there, but it's tough going. We're not really getting the data in a usable form from the county. The point is, why is that? We're arresting people in our city. We literally have no way of doing searches and finding out exactly other than looking at each person individually, how many recidivists we have, or what is the sentencing, which judges are releasing people. I mean, think about this. We have judges who we say are elected, and we say the prosecutor is elected here, but we're really 90,000 residents out of 3 million, almost 3 million people. We're 3%, and most people, including me, I'm an elected official spending hours and hours in this. I still couldn't tell you which judges are just dismissing charges. They're doing it, though. It's happening. I can't even tell you which prosecutors aren't prosecuting the cases, but it's happening. I actually found that a statistic the other day. This is amazing. We have our own municipal prosecutor in Miami Beach. We're the only city in Miami Beach that does that. Now, this is partly COVID. This was not always the case. So I want to put this in context. But during COVID, we've made 418 charges and arrests under our municipal ordinances, and 383 have been dismissed, either by our own prosecutors or by the judges. That's over 90% of our cases. So when we talk about sort of the broken window, zero tolerance, first of all, it does work, but it's not being done right now. It is absolutely not being done when you have 90%. And believe me, the word's out on the street. People know that. The people who want to come here and cause problems in our city, they know this. They may not know the statistics. They may not know the 90%, but they know all of this. And we're getting the repeat offenders. And I'm going to keep pushing. And I want action items. And I'm bringing action items that we make these changes that are necessary. I also want to say this is a very difficult environment for the police. Very difficult environment. The toughest I've had. I don't want to quote people, just in case I misquoted, don't get it exactly, but I've heard people in our police department who've been doing this for 30 years tell me this is the most difficult environment they've ever seen. It's certainly, from my perspective, it's the most difficult environment. And it's tough. And the media will tend to focus on a lot of the negatives. And you can hear a lot of the negatives. And they should. They should, to some extent. If something bad happens, it should be reported on. But we don't see the day-to-day. I see it. I know most of our residents see it, the humanity in our officers, how they treat people. First of all, when you're in trouble and you're in safety, whether it's an injury, whether it's a car accident, or God forbid something more serious, who's the first person you call? You're calling 911. And they come and they treat people humanely, and they're there to help people. I think that gets lost, how much we think of police always as arrests, and I focus on that a lot too, but they do a tremendous service to our society, and they should be recognized and acknowledged for that. I was even thinking of bringing an item to maybe honor a police officer. It could be a fire and code as well, but to honor a police officer at every meeting to show sort of the great work that they do. But that being said, and I always say this is the biggest compliment, our residents want to see more high visibility, more. I had a very high-level person in our city tell me recently that they were walking down Ocean Drive. They didn't see a police, but something happened literally a block away. They saw what happened. Within seconds, 30 seconds, there were 10 cops. And I said, that's great. There's no question. Our response time is phenomenal. But why didn't you see those 10 cops? Why didn't you see those 10 cops? They were there. They clearly were in the area. So again, I don't want to be too critical of our police, because I think we have a great force. They do a lot of good work. But really, that high-level visibility, as we keep saying. You know, I had asked, this is 6 months ago, I had asked for data on policing. Police have tons of data on them, the GPS, the car, their body cams, the cell. The truth is, I don't really, it shouldn't be in my hands. But there are tools we should use, and use every tool in our toolbox to make sure that we have that high-level of visibility, and there are spurts we do it. And I commend you, Alina, for what you're doing, and I hope it works. But I have to say, I've seen it a couple of times already. Before you were city manager, and it lasts for a little bit, and then it doesn't continue. And we really need that continuous. And while we're doing that, while we're sort of stopping the bleeding, no pun intended, we need to, as a city, make the changes to correct why we're having this problem to begin with. So there's a lot of issues between. We have a lot of great businesses, but we have some bad operators. We have to focus on short-term rentals, which we are as well. So there's a lot of issues, but we have to, at least in the interim, until we correct this. But we need a sense of urgency, and that's what I keep saying to you, Alina, and I know you're trying. I know you really are, and I give you the benefit of that, and I think you really are trying. But I'll give you one example. I had an item that passed almost a year ago to bring high-end family activations to the spoil area of Loomis Park. There's 14 acres there. We are no closer today, and I know there was efforts made. I don't want to say that we tried anything, but we are no closer today than we were a year ago to bringing that. So this is an idea. Maybe it'll work, maybe not. I think it will. Obviously, I spent a lot of time working on it, and it's not the only answer. But high-end, family-friendly activations, when I say family-friendly, obviously not just families, but anybody can come and enjoy. But and we're still not even close to bringing it. We need a sense of urgency. I know people sometimes tell me, Commissioner, government moves slowly. It's not an answer to me. I don't accept that as an answer. And our residents are demanding it, and we need to deliver. So on every level, from the businesses, we're gonna get the data hopefully soon, Chief, with the state attorney's office. We need that data. We need to see why certain crimes, and we're not just talking about open beer offenses. We're talking about some more serious crimes that are not being prosecuted, that judges are dismissing the charges against those individuals. And honestly, at this point, I mean, we heard the chief say, well, we don't want to point fingers. But you know what? We're going to start pointing fingers because we've gotten to a point where we can't just let it go and say, no, it's okay. We're just going to let it go and look the other way. I don't want to. It's not a good political move to do it. I'm sorry. That doesn't fly anymore. And if I have to be the one pointing fingers, or we have residents who are ready because they're fed up, and I have the ability, hopefully, to get them the information that we need to make these changes. It's taken me a while. Working with all law enforcement agencies, I've talked to the chief as well, utilizing, and I know you do some of it. Let's get the Department of Justice to prosecute some of more of these cases if we have to. If we're not doing it here, let's get the U.S. Department of Justice involved. We really have a moral obligation to do this. This has gone past the point. When people are changing their routines, when we have residents in South Beach telling us over and over and over again that their life has been upended because of the what's going on down there, we have to listen and we have to react and we have to make those changes, and we need the sense of urgency and we have to do it. We really, there's no other choice. And for me personally, it hurts. It hurts when somebody is shot and killed on our street. And the mayor said it actually in one of his addresses. There's a lot of other stuff that doesn't even make the media. And I'm sorry to talk negatively because there's so many amazing things in our city. We have an amazing city. And I actually went down there recently. Quite frankly, I went 10, 11 o'clock. I felt very safe going around South Beach. I had a great time. I took my family. I took my little kids with me. We have a beautiful, magnificent city. I did. And we had a great time. But, and I'll end on this because I know I've been going a while, but I feel very passionate. It really hurts when I see this. And it hurts when I have a phone call from a resident who tells me that a homeless person is trying to break into their house. And obviously, we can't stop every crime, but it hurts. And I feel like we're not doing everything as a city that we need to do to stop this. And that's what I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pushing and fighting until we get it right.
Thank you. Commissioner Gongora.
Great, thank you. I appreciate your passion, Commissioner Minor, and I appreciate you also bringing this item forward. I mean, 2 weeks ago, this horrible, terrible incident happened with this young man killed there with his wife and young child. And our community hurts, and our community was angry, and our community called out for action. And that's why I had requested this meeting 2 weeks ago. Since that time, we've had some things moving forward. I agree that we need more action, and I've been noticing this ever since I came back to the Commission. When I left in 2013, the situation was not the same as it is today on Ocean Drive. I noticed a downward progression when I came back in 2017, and as a result of that, I was vocal about wanting to change chiefs. I thought that that might be part of the solution to make it better. And we now have a new chief, and I think everybody that knows me knows I'm a big police supporter, because I am. But we need to continue to make it better. Our residents still call out that they weren't seeing enough of a police presence. That's what we hear at the Commission. That's what we hear when we're at community meetings. I commend our city manager for coming up with this comprehensive strategy. After that, I think it is a positive step. I spoke with our city manager earlier today to commend her. I spoke with our police chief to let them know that I appreciate these thoughts. We need to keep these police on the streets. I think that this multi-department idea is also an interesting concept, and I think as long as we have more bodies on the street to show that we're a city of laws and we're a city of order and that we're a city that's not going to tolerate lawlessness and crime, that's what we want. And yes, this was a senseless crime, a person on drugs, a crazy person. You can't stop those weird incidents from happening, but we It's not just that incident. It's that people seem to feel they can come to Miami Beach and choose the city to engage in those actions. I'm happy and I feel good that you're working on the overtime issue. I've been hearing that for 4 years, that overtime wasn't working, they weren't paying the police enough, it was a hard time to get them to work overtime. So I think it's beneficial for our city that our city manager is so close to a police chief and understands how the police department works, because we want to have more police on the streets. We will give you whatever tools you want. If you want housing incentives, I'll vote for it. If you want more money, I'll vote for it. If you want an increased budget for more police officers, I'll vote for it. If you want enhanced technology and the crime center, we'll vote for it. We're going to give you the tools that you need to keep our city safe. This is our number one concern. So why did I put this on the agenda? Well, you've addressed some of these issues because we are working towards putting more police on the street. But there are other issues that we need to look at as a commission. I attached to my item the South of Fifth resolution because they also addressed a couple of other items. One of the ones that we're going to have to look at, whether it's tonight or whether it's later in September when we're addressing Ocean Drive, is whether having Ocean Drive completely open is contributing to the problem. I had long wanted to open up Ocean Drive to some type of other thing besides the two lanes of traffic and a parking lane. When the pandemic happened last year, it was my opportunity, and I was the sponsor of this item. I thought it would be good in two ways. Number one, I thought it would give our residents who were pent up at home at that time an area to walk, to exercise, to ride bike, and I still think that's good. And number two, it gave our businesses who couldn't open inside the opportunity to have enhanced outside seating. But we've moved forward since then, and I spend, I would venture to say, the most time on Ocean Drive of anybody on this dais. I've been going there for years, maybe not Alina lately, but certainly I spend a lot of time there. I see what's going on, and it has just continued to get worse and worse and worse over the past 4 years, and especially since the pandemic. And we're going to have to discuss whether we need to keep this openness. It's created a void on the streets. Many people complain to me that it's gotten as bad as Bourbon Street, which is also going through a similar downward fall. In Tampa, Ybor City closed what used to be their open streets because it was creating a void. Our police union sent us a message that they think it's bad. There's concerns that ambulance couldn't get through if there's a serious situation. So I am willing to bring this conversation forward, whether it is tonight, whether it is at the Ocean Drive workshop. I know that I have spoken with many people in the administration who think that this openness is contributing to the problem and creating a void that's making people feel we have a party atmosphere. So we need to do something about that, and I need to hear from my colleagues at some point whether they are open to doing something to change this. We opened it up overnight during the pandemic, and I think it was a good thing at that time, but maybe it's not the right thing anymore. Number two, I think that the DUI traffic stop that you did last Friday was incredibly helpful. Whether or not you're making a zillion arrests or not, it's sending the message that Miami Beach is not a city to come to, whether you're drunk, whether you're on drugs, whether your car smells like marijuana. This isn't the right city to come to because you might get stopped and you might get arrested. I think we need to do more of that. I remember years ago, we used to do a lot more of these DUI checkpoints. I think less people get DUIs because there's Uber and ride sharing and all kinds of other programs. But I believe we can arrest people if they're high on marijuana. And it certainly reeks in a lot of these vehicles. And it reeks on our streets. So I think we need to figure out what we can do about that. We created a municipal ordinance to make it illegal to smoke marijuana in public, was my understanding. And I think we need to crack down on those arrests. We need to be able to send people the message, you can't come and smoke marijuana openly on the streets. We have a local ordinance. Let's enforce it. I agree we need to continue moving forward with the small crime prosecution. We need to do whatever we can to get those arrests out and to get the message to the prosecutors and to the courts that we want these people convicted. Another item that the commission passed that I had sponsored, and I think Commissioner Minor had co-sponsored, was a community court. This is something that Fort Lauderdale is doing, where they're taking some of these misdemeanor and municipal ordinances, and they're bringing the court to the city, and they're looking for other means besides going to the Richard Gerstein Justice Building or wherever the cases go now. And they seem to be having success, from what I'm reading and hearing from people, with the community court concept in Fort Lauderdale. It's my hope that we will move forward with this and we will implement this, and that hopefully this will be a way that we can continue to prosecute these small crimes. Our commission needs to keep looking at ways that we can crack down on the peripheral problems. One of those issues that I've been vocal about and that we've talked a lot about are the short-term rentals. We saw during the pandemic a number of people coming and crowding in large groups, partying in short-term rentals. And while hotels, I believe, do a better job of policing their own occupancy restrictions because they don't want this, the short-term rentals seem to be a free-for-all. As a result, the commission passed on first reading the short-term rental ordinance I'm sponsoring. It's coming back for second reading on September 17th. And I believe as part of that, we're putting occupancy restrictions on our short-term rentals. And I'm hopeful with the new code compliance employees that we're bringing on that we will crack down on the short-term rentals and we will not see this crazy amount of occupancy. Another issue that we all believe is contributing, and Commissioner Richardson has been vocal about this, is the mopeds, the toys, the slingshots, these vehicles that are happening on the street. I've also been very interested in this. We know that in Panama City, they phased that out over a number of years, and that was upheld in the courts. I was bringing this forward, but it's my understanding that Richardson beat me to it. So now I'm co-sponsoring this ordinance because we've got to get rid of these vehicles because they are contributing to the nuisance. Commissioner Samuelin has been vocal about the noise and whatever we can do to try to restrict noise. We will do and pass whatever legislation is necessary, but we need to make sure that what we are doing is strictly enforced, whether it's at the police level, whether it's at the code level, whatever level it is. I hope that we are going to go out and send that message, because I personally believe that if we stand united as a commission, as a city, with our police, with our code, with our communications department, and we continue to consistently send out that message that we are a city of zero tolerance. We are a city that does not want people to come to our city that are going to be a nuisance. We do not want you to come and congregate in large numbers in short-term rentals. We do not want you smoking marijuana on the streets, blowing it in people's faces. We don't want you renting these slingshots and mopeds and annoying vehicles that end up being a nuisance to our residents. We don't want you coming to our city if you're going to engage in crime. I personally believe that that word will get out and these people will stop coming to our city. So thank you. But it's not about anything, because we all have great ideas here, but we need to come together as a body and we need to all send a unified message that this behavior is unacceptable. And it is my hope that no matter what happens, whether I stay on this commission, whether I'm not on this commission, that whoever is here continues to beat the drum that we are a zero-tolerance city.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor.
All right. Commissioner Samuelin.
Yep.
Thank you, Mayor. And my comments are going to build on the fine comments by Commissioner Gongora, Commissioner Miner, and others. I, too, requested this meeting because public safety is job one for local government. I want to talk briefly about the manager's plan and city services. I want to touch on the critical role of businesses and sidewalk cafes. And because Commissioner Gongora raised the issue of traffic patterns and invited me to comment, I will accept that invitation and comment. First off, I would just say, overall, I support the manager's plan. The South Beach Comprehensive Strategy is an important step forward. She and her team have made a couple clear and important points. We need a comprehensive, holistic approach. It's not just about high-impact weekends. It's 365 days a year. I appreciate, and in my personal conversation with her, she underlined what she said is she and her team are going to be working to look at this on a weekly basis. It's a living and breathing plan. So there's a lot to like, and I'm going to highlight a few things that particularly jump out. I think it's really important for us to acknowledge what an amazing, resilient community we live in. Yes, we're going to be self-critical tonight, and I will be self-critical of all of what's going on, but people are coming in droves to be here. People from all over the world want to come to Miami Beach despite some of these real challenges, and I think that's a testament to our community. I don't want that message to be lost. I support our police. I look at these folks, many of whom I know personally. What a tough time to wear that uniform. You have our full support. We're counting on you in a big way, and we appreciate what you're doing. It's not easy. That said, our residents deserve better. We are not getting the job done. That is clear as can be. But it's not my opinion. I read the manager's email. I read it a couple times. Let me quote. The situation in South Beach has grown progressively more concerning. And she doesn't mince words. I have a feeling she and her team thought a long time before they wrote words like that. The situation in South Beach has grown progressively more concerning. If that isn't a call to action, I don't know what is. We need high visibility presence. I, too, like the DUI and what I heard about that. We don't know how many undercover cops we're using out there, but I think we need probably more. I think our approach to mitigate traffic and noise is important to set the tone. I'll be bringing an enhanced noise ordinance to this body in September. We got to solve the off-duty. There are people in the audience who have told me they wanted off-duty police, but they couldn't get them. So I think we demand a lot of our police. We're counting on you to help us. And I agree with the manager's concept. It's an all-of-government approach. So issues around homeless, I know we're going to have some new folks in our homeless department. We're counting on them. We added headcount and code for short-term rentals. I look forward to seeing the results there. I love our park rangers. I want to see them more. We're going to have new leadership, I believe, in our communications area. Let's get the message out. If you're here to misbehave, go somewhere else. We want people who are going to play by the rules. Everyone's welcome in Miami Beach as long as you play by the rules. Let me touch on businesses because, you know, it's wrong just to say this is a policing problem. We have to look at the business model. And I have a very specific point that I want to make clear. For decades now, every single operator that wanted to make money on the public right away, we approved. But we all know not 100% of those operators are playing by the rules. We've got noise violations. We've got code violations. We've got hawking. I've actually had people that I really trust tell me that in some of these places they're smoking marijuana on public property. That has to stop. So in March, the commission unanimously passed an item which I sponsored. I believe Commissioner Miner was a co-sponsor. And we laid out very specific criteria that we had worked with the city attorney's office and the manager's office that said the bar is higher. The mayor sponsored his code of conduct. I've got a very simple principle. Zero tolerances for businesses that are not adhering to our rules. They should not make a penny on public land. So I would like to just request to the city manager, because we're coming up on that time when we may renew permits, that we very carefully scrutinize every single business that is making money on public land, and if they are not raising the bar, they have not earned the right to make money. And I'd really be surprised if 100% of those permits get approved just because of everything we know. I really encourage you, Madam Manager, to look very carefully at anyone applying for a sidewalk cafe permit, because they're part of the problem. We need to acknowledge that. My colleague invited the conversation about Ocean Drive, and I think we should absolutely have that conversation. I think we can make improvements. I think we need to look at the valet system. I think we need to look at our signage. I do want to keep in mind a couple things, though. I think it's important that we are listening to our residents. There was a recent survey that was conducted, 300 people. 77% of our residents supported keeping Ocean Drive closed and having it pedestrian like Lincoln Road. When we and many in this body spent a lot of time on the GEO bond, we made the commitment to pedestrianize Ocean Drive. That's what people voted for. One of the things that we need to do as we transition from the MXC to, as the mayor described, the Art Deco Cultural District, is listen to our residents. I want to hear what the residents who live in those businesses, do they want scooters back on Ocean Drive? Do they want vehicles that make noise, vehicles that sometimes have people with guns? I ask that rhetorically. I can't believe that that's what they would want. So, yes, let's improve. Let's pay attention to what Sobe Safe said. Let's carefully engage with the Ocean Drive Association. Very thoughtful perspective there. And let's find a way to improve it. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We just made an important intervention with 40, 50 officers. Let's see what that does. You know, if you start changing too many variables and then you wake up and say, well, what worked, what didn't, you have no way of figuring it out. So I'd be very careful about that. And I believe putting pedestrian first is the right approach. I have an item on the September 17th agenda. As the manager has acknowledged, this plan will evolve. She's going to work with her team to see where this goes. Well, I want to see where it goes, and I want to see more closely some of the details. For example, we have $10,000 to $15,000 signing bonuses. I'd like to see how that is helping our recruitment. We have housing stipends. How many more officers have opted to live on the beach? I'd love to see that level of detail. So I have an item on the 17th. Mr. City Clerk, I would like to make that a standing item at the commission to review the South Beach Comprehensive Strategy. I would like to see reports every month on the progress. And I'll close with this. We're all in this together. We want to do better. And if there are any resources or policy changes that need to be made, please bring them to us. We're there to support you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And just so everybody knows, on September 23rd, I think Commissioner Steinberg had asked for this. We are going to be meeting about pedestrianization of Ocean Drive. And I think at that point, the manager and her staff are going to be giving us options and things like that. And at that time, I would give some time before the meeting to have the public be able to speak, on the topic at length. So those of you that have an opinion, we'll try to make it at that meeting, which will be dedicated to that subject. Commissioner Areola.
Thanks, Mayor, and thanks to my colleagues for bringing this up, and everyone's been passionate about it. Just support it. You can't hear me? You can't hear me? Oh, the mic's on. Okay. So, again, thank you for bringing this up. Just point of clarification, Mayor, what are we looking to do here today? Are we looking to take specific action? There's a litany of things that have already been proposed, and only less than half of us have talked today. Just so that we can sort of organize ourselves, what are you or what are we looking to do here in terms of direction to the city manager and or other items that have already been discussed or might be discussed as we go through this?
Well, I think one of the things that's happening is, first of all, I think everybody should be reminded that although we are the board of directors of the city, frankly, we have an incredibly competent manager and police chief, and their job is to figure out how to address these with our input. Our job is to hold them accountable and to make sure that they have our input on behalf of the residents. Our job is to give the resident lens so that that follows. I think what has happened in this follows that path. I think we had a, this is not the first time this manager or the previous one or this chief or the previous chief has looked at some of these issues. They obviously are, they take a, an incredible amount of our time, as they should, to the point that we sometimes don't do some of the other things that we like to talk about. I think that hopefully our discussions here today and the, a couple of the commissioners who wanted to have this meeting, you know, are expressing themselves. The manager and the chief will get that. But it's going to be their job to give us what they recommend. We have a staff of professionals who know law enforcement presumably better than we do, and a manager who knows a municipal government operation better than we do, and their job is to come back to us and say, this is what we want to do. Now, I think it was very wise of the manager to give us on September 3rd a pretty comprehensive update as to what she's doing and what the city's doing. I'd add a couple things that I think they're in here, maybe they're not. One of the challenges has been we've been down anywhere from a dozen to more than two dozen police officers because of COVID. We're trying, we are having recruitment issues, which the commission is trying to address. And so what I think she did was create a everyday increase in police presence and patrols that we are going to see in the at least immediate and perhaps medium future. Also, I think we all are aware, but in case the public may want to know, we are increasing our police department numbers pretty substantially. We got two or three dozen in the pipeline. Takes a few months to get them here. But they, I sworn one this morning. When we have them, I think we'll have 439 police. Does that sound right? 430 police officers, which is about 40 police more than it was a few years ago. But I think the manager mentioned that she's got a study to see if we need more and whether our allocation is correct. Because in order to get those police officers into South Beach, frankly, she had to assign them from other departments where they presumably were doing work on other things. So this is, I mean, this is a sort of a constant battle, but we may need a substantial amount of police. I think that I share everybody's view that if there is anything you need, we want to do it. We just want to make sure it's informed and it's going to help, and it's not for show, and it's not cosmetic, but it's meaningful. That's what we want. And I feel like your memo a week or two ago, Ms. Hudak, was a very good start on that because it was immediate. And I think people saw the next day or the night this came out that there was a different presence in the, in South Beach. I think we're all aware of the fact that this can't continue because taking police from other departments is not a long-term strategy, especially given the fact that we're a city of 88 blocks, not 10 blocks, and we can't throw all of our resources into this little postage stamp part of our city. And south of 5th has its own issues, and as is the Flamingo Park and West Avenue, because honestly, the buildup of residents in those communities, which is adjacent to this area, has become a very problem. So here's some long-term things. So to answer your question, I think she's taking input from us. I think the chief and his senior staff are hearing, and my assumption is that some of these ideas are going to come back to us soon, either because they think they're great or because they think they're not going to work, but they'll let us know. But I think we cannot stand still, and I believe the reason why so many of my colleagues wanted to have this meeting today was both the frustration but the need to act and to give some direction, but also just to make sure that that we're not standing still on an issue that is obviously not, we're not standing still to a challenge that is obviously moving.
Okay, yeah. The reason for my question is because there's already been a lot of things thrown out there, everything from judicial reform to having more prosecutors. So, yeah, I don't know if we're looking for a menu of ideas or, you know, this is just to voice our, you know, unyielding support to our police department and to voice our frustration. And I don't know if the city manager is looking for specific directions because, I mean, I have a litany of things that, ideas that I'd like to discuss, but if we're not going to take action on them today, we still have a very long meeting to go through, and I don't want to just be redundant. But what I will say is there are a lot of contributing factors to this situation that we have here, particularly on South Beach, but it is growing. We are already starting to see it creep into the south of Fifth neighborhood as well as other neighborhoods throughout the city, and we need to not only nip that in the bud but turn this ship around quickly. And I, for one, think it is a litany of things that are contributing to the situation, and that's why I've been reluctant to just say, let's close the bars at 2 a.m. and this will magically go away. Voters will be voting on that in November to give us some guidance on that issue. But I think we need a very comprehensive approach. Part of it, for sure, is beefed up police presence and law enforcement technology, of course. But I think it's just reimagining that whole area and actually creating legislation so that we can, you know, sort of redevelop and reposition that whole area into something that is not what it's become, which is, you know, a litany of cheap hotels, fast food joints, T-shirt shops, massage parlors, tattoo parlors, fly-by-night bars, you know, outdoor cafes that are completely out of control. It's a lot of these things. And, you know, it is whack-a-mole right now. You know, we introduced legislation to stop scooters, and then there's something else. Until we just reposition that whole area so that it becomes something else, I think we're just going to keep coming back to where we're at today, which is just to express our outrage at what we're seeing. Look, you know, areas here in Dade County just in the past decade have been repositioned. Think about Wynwood, right, what that was and what it is. The design district. These are things just across the bay that were derelict, nondescript, and sometimes dangerous areas that have become some of the nicest, choicest places to go and, frankly, have now become serious competition to us. You know, Brickell was not too long ago, I'm old enough to remember, it was a sleepy little area of town. You know, Coral Gables, magnificent. You know, Bal Harbour. There's all kinds of places just in our own town that have been able to reposition themselves in the last decade or two. Coconut Grove. You know, how many redevelopment you know, areas have we seen across the country? Times Square comes to mind. You know, how many wharf areas across the country that were, you know, derelict and very dangerous have become vibrant again? How many downtowns have been repositioned? This is something well within our capability of doing, but it has to be a comprehensive approach. Policing right now is a critical element to getting this under control because we have to stop the cancer that continues to grow. But otherwise, unless it's going to be a police state permanently, which none of us want, we have to do something more meaningful than just cosmetic things like, you know, closing bars down at 2 a.m. It's got to be replaced with something, and that's going to require some painful choices that we're going to have to make, and it's going to have to be a comprehensive solution. And I really want to see more energy put into that as a body. So that's what I'm going to say about all of this.
Thank you. Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. And I don't want to take the time to repeat so many of the comments that have been made by my colleagues. But first of all, I just have a question for Alina or the police chief, and that is, it was earlier mentioned that we have the signing bonus and also the housing. So I don't want to get into the numbers and for security reasons if we have shortages right now, but is there anything that you need right now from us that would help to fill the vacancies other than what we have given you? Because we need to get the vacancies filled as quickly as possible.
I don't believe so. I believe that by the end of the year, we should have a better understanding of, number one, obviously how this approach has worked, and this approach is dedicating a particular number of additional resources, and we are on parallel paths doing the consultant analysis that will yield, again, a really good comparison, a really good evaluation of our staffing patterns, and I think by then we would certainly be able to have that conversation. I have asked, and John and I will discuss how we maybe really set aside a potential reserve for purposes of being able to address that in that fiscal year and have that conversation as part of our budget discussion next week, perhaps.
And have we, as part of the analysis that you have done, have we looked at our compensation plans to determine if we're competitive in our compensation for officers, because if that is an issue, In our hiring, we provided a bonus to try to incentivize people. But and I'm not going to put you on the spot by asking you to answer the details of that now. But if you haven't looked at it, I hope you will, because maybe we can even talk about that at the next meeting. Because if that is creating a problem, we need to address it. You know. So with that, I want to say that. You know, first of all, Chief, thank you and your officers for all the hard work. I get an opportunity to talk to officers on the street, often through the food distributions that we do and where you support our efforts. So, and I know that morale is a concern right now. You know, oftentimes when things happen, we get to see the video of an incident that may not shine the greatest light on you and your department, but sometimes we don't see the video for the 5 minutes before an incident occurs. And you know, I want you to know that I appreciate everything that you're doing and that I think you guys have the toughest job. So thank you for helping to protect us. We need you. And as it's been said, let us know if there's anything that you need, because we will support you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, Madam Manager. Commissioner Richardson, thank you. I'm proud of my guys.
You should be.
I am. You know, and I don't want our department to be defined by an incident, by one. I've heard several of you comment about how much we've been called on over the past 18 months to be able to deal with the challenges associated with policing Miami Beach. And we have been. I've changed days off. I've canceled vacations. I've changed their work schedules on a moment's notice. We put together task forces. We've arrested thousands of people. And we've heard every request that has been made of us to try to get better. And we will continue to do that. But it's good, and I appreciate all of you for coming forward today and acknowledging how hard we are working. My staff is here today because they're concerned, and they want to come up with the best solutions available to be able to turn the perception around. Not the effort, because the effort's always been there. It's the perception. And we want to turn it around, and we want to give the residents the right to what they have, to be in a safe environment. We want that. And going back, Madam Manager, I hope you don't mind me commenting on you know, are we doing enough to be able to recruit and to be able to get people to come here? Yes, we are. And I want to thank my boss for leading the way on that and pushing us even further to look even deeper to what can bring people here. And we'll get that. What I do ask for is a little bit of time to be able to fill those vacancies, because, again, we can't get people trained and you know, get into our process quickly enough. But we're working on that. I have a backgrounds unit. I have a major here from support services that over the last 2 months hired 21 people. And when you look at the process and you look how difficult it is to hire an officer, I think the rates right now are we get one out of every 10 applicants that meet our criteria. We're not lowering our standards. You know, we're still going to maintain a high level of standards because that's what we expect. And really, for the most part, I want you to know that when you get that officer, that one that the mayor had the opportunity to swear in today, that's a good candidate because that person survived the process. And I say survive, not in a negative light, but that the criteria is such that we only want the best. So thank you for bringing the question. Thank you for bringing the comments. I appreciate that. My staff appreciates that. But know that we're doing our best.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. So.
All right.
So I just had a couple other things, if I could.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, I won't repeat a lot of things. I do want to mention, since Commissioner Gore, you did bring it up, that I am working on the scooter to have that conversation. You know, when I first came to the city, I don't know, 25 years ago or so, there were no rental scooters. There were not all these toys. And as you all know, I've had discussion items on these. We've taken some actions, but our actions have not been enough, in my view. I started working on this in December, and I was encouraged by the attorneys to please slow it down and get a little bit more data. Commissioner Minor, that's part of, I think, the slow roll of government sometimes is having to take the time, you know, to get some data. But I think we'll get there with it. And I share your frustration that sometimes government does seem a bit slow. But I am bringing the item, and it will be fashioned similar to the outline for what Panama City Beach did. In their community, they determined that a three-year amortization was appropriate. That is not a national model. I'll bring an item so that I think we're referring it to land use so that we can determine what would be the most appropriate amortization period if my colleagues agree that we should move forward with banning these toys, which is what I want to do. It will not affect the residents, but the people that come that want to have these toys. And I say, if you want to have a toy, get a bicycle and pedal it, and it'll be more green. Now, on Ocean Drive, I have said two or three times right here sitting that the biggest public safety mistake we made last year was closing Ocean Drive without a plan. Because we created an open-air arena where people could bring their alcohol, their drugs, and party all night. I am fully open to looking at all options. I support a revitalization plan for Loomis Park and Ocean Drive. I think some of the early designs I've seen are very encouraging. I think, Madam Manager, we are going to open Ocean Drive for a pride parade soon. Is that true?
We will prepare Ocean Drive for the parade. That doesn't involve opening it to traffic. It just involves removing the enhanced restaurant tables and chairs.
Exactly. And that's going to happen, I think, pretty soon, right? On a Sunday, upcoming Sunday? The 19th, okay. And then we're having a meeting on the 23rd, I believe, to talk about Ocean Drive. Is that right?
That is correct.
So what I would propose here, and I don't know how my colleagues feel about that, since the street will be cleared for traffic on the parade, I would like the city manager to not put anything back on the street until we have a meeting on the 23rd so that we don't waste dollars and so forth. So I'm making that motion that the city manager is directed once the street is open on the 19th that we will not put furniture and so forth out there and have businesses incur expenses until we meet on the 23rd when we see all these plans and we can decide what is best. So, and I want to make a couple more points, and if anybody wants to second that motion, then they can do that. If not, it'll die right here. But closing Ocean Drive without a plan was a big mistake, and we need to fix that big mistake. Now, I'm tired of that open-air arena out there where people bring their alcohol and party all night. Enough is enough. But I am open to hearing options. And I do think the parking on the east side of Ocean Drive is a mistake for people to park a car out there and then have a bar out of their trunk. So I don't want to have any parking. That's my personal opinion on that. So, but I will be bringing the scooter item at the next meeting and with that. So... And again, I don't want to spend the time to talk about all these other things, but I've made my motion if anybody wants to act on it.
Okay. By the way, I've heard two dates. The Pride Parade is the 19th, right?
What?
The Pride Parade is the 19th.
It's the Sunday.
It's Sunday, a week from this Sunday.
Yes.
We do have a commission meeting on the 17th, by the way, just so everybody knows. All right.
Well, I that's right, because but the 17th is before the 19th. It's my understanding the street will have to be cleared by the 19th for the parade.
The street will be cleared in the middle of the night on Saturday.
Exactly. So I'm just saying I don't want the businesses to, you know, spend all that money putting stuff back out there if we're going to do something maybe 4 or 5 days later and tell them to take it out again. I don't know what we're going to do on the 23rd, but...
No, I think there's a meeting the 2 days before.
I know.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But the street's not going to be opened up at that point.
But we'll be meeting again if you want to talk about it again. That's my point. Okay. All right. First of all, anybody else need to be heard? This was a public safety meeting. I think everybody's had Commissioner Minor.
For Alina. You mentioned in the memo to Commission about the Matrix Consulting that you're hiring. What is their role?
They're a consulting company that has done, I believe, perhaps 2 or maybe even 3 studies of our police department. So it was good and efficient to bring them in. We've had a conversation based on their scope. We've asked them to look at a variety of staffing patterns. We've asked them to look at technology. We've asked them to talk to our residents and to talk to each and every one of you in terms of priorities. And we've asked them to basically do an analysis of our staffing pattern, our ratios, and come back to us with recommendations specific to what is the appropriate ratio of officers.
Is that their specialty?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay. I'm getting an affirmative. Okay, I don't believe it. I think we heard a lot today about different measures that are going to be brought up because we do have a commission meeting next Friday. I have a number of items on next week: short-term rentals, sales of packaged alcohol, permitting, the special magistrate, and some of their dismissals of violations. I did put one item on for today, but I'm sensing the appetite here is maybe not for a vote, and since we're only a week away from another meeting. But I did have one item that we should start appealing, obviously with the discretion of our legal department. We should start appealing cases that are dismissed by judges. My understanding is from several years ago that we met the same situation we're dealing with today. Judges were literally just dismissing a lot of our cases. And again, it kind of goes really under the radar. People, you know, you follow, people talk about a lot of things, but generally that doesn't get a whole lot of attention. And we need to change that because it's a big part of the problem. We've talked a lot. I won't repeat, but that is part of the problem. And there are a lot of good judges, by the way. So I always hate to throw and generalize because there are a lot of really great judges who don't do that. But we should start appealing the one. So that's a vote that I'm going to bring next week to give direction to our legal department that they should start that process again. Because right now, my understanding is they're dismissed and we're not appealing.
Can I ask a question, Mayor?
Sure.
To Commissioner Minor. So I don't know the statistics on this, so I appreciate that you have done some of the work on this. So, but it was my feeling that the issue is not so much that judges were reversing, if you will, or not doing anything. It's just that we're not getting cases prosecuted. So do you have any statistics on that? It's like what the percentage of cases that we take are just not being, the prosecutor just doesn't think it's a case that maybe they can win or that it has merit.
It's actually both, and that's part of what I'm trying, and I've been working closely with the chief on getting that data. We're, again, it's been a long process. We're getting closer. Part of it has to do with the data we're getting in from the county is not exactly in the format that we needed it to be able to do the thorough analysis. So we're working through that. But there's that aspect. There's also our own municipal prosecutor that we have. Those are generally lower level. Those are Miami Beach municipal ordinances. So that analysis it's been almost a year in coming, and hopefully we'll have the data soon, but that's part of it. But I think it's both. I know it's both. It's both the prosecutors are not prosecuting to the extent that we believe they should, and I think there's uniformity in that. I don't think I'm obviously you'll make your own decisions, but I think generally when I talk to the police, when I talk to Alina, that's the and I talk to our legal department, but it's the prosecutors and it's the judges, because sometimes the prosecutors do bring it and the judges dismiss it.
Commissioner Minor, you want me to move R9D to...
Please, if you can move that, and actually, even though I think we kind of discussed it today, R9C as well, if you can move that to the September 17th meeting. Thank you.
Okay. You're not looking at me to be recognized. Good. I don't want to invite any more. Thank you all for putting this on the agenda. Thank you to all of our guys and ladies who protect us. To our manager, thank you for your constant work on this. thank you for your efforts, but we've got a lot more to do. This is security is never something you stop worrying about or stop responding to. So we'll keep on it. We have one more item on the R9, but I want to get the time certains out first, and then we'll come back to the R9B. So let's do R7A and move through these. I think they're going to be pretty quick.
Unfortunately, I have to read the titles of the public hearing. So R7A is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, acting in its capacity as a governing body of the Allison Island Security Guard Special Taxing District, adopting the non-ad valorem assessment rule for annual assessments against real property located within the Allison Island Security Guard Special Taxing District, commencing fiscal year 2022. This is a public hearing, item R7A.
Okay, looks like I'm in charge. Mayor's stepping out. John?
We don't really have a presentation here. We're just reminding the commission that we do have three special districts, Allison Island, Biscayne Beach, and Biscayne
John, give it
Point.
Hey, John. John, there's noise. You could let us clear chambers, and then you can go. I think you're good, bud. Go.
Okay, so items R7A through R7F are related to adoption of special district assessments and budgets. The three special districts are Allison Island, Biscayne Beach, and Biscayne Point, and these items do require a public hearing.
Okay. Anyone from the public wish to speak?
We have two individuals on Zoom. The first caller is Inez. Inez, are you here to talk about the Allison Island item?
No, I
okay, turn her mic up, or Inez, if you could speak a little louder.
Okay, no, I'm here to speak about safety and the police issues in Ocean Drive.
Okay, we've already done that, so thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Inez. Our next caller is Ann Mustianis. Ann, are you here to talk on Allison Island? Ann, please unmute yourself.
Ann? Okay.
PJ, let's go to the next caller is Brittany Ann. Brittany.
Hi, I was wondering
Brittany, go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Just like the first caller, I was curious where we can direct our concerns of Ocean Drive and safety to.
Well, if you have our email addresses, of course, anytime you can contact any or all of us, as well as the city manager, and we will follow up with you and take all of your comments under advisement for sure.
Comments, just ideas, and also I agree with you all you've done, and just thank you to the police force. I've seen you guys out, and you've been wonderful.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you. Our next caller, Elizabeth Scarlett. Elizabeth on Allison Island.
No. Hi, gentlemen. Hello, Madam City Manager. I would like to know why we aren't allowed to talk about safety on this commission. Meeting.
Okay. Yeah. For those of you participating at home via Zoom, we weren't taking public comment today. This meeting was ostensibly just to go through our ad valorem budget and millage rates, and then we added a couple things here just to prime a conversation, a much longer conversation that we will be having next week and the week after, at which time there will be opportunity for public comment. So. In the meantime, please reach out to any and all of us, as well as the city manager, and then we will be taking public comment at a future meeting on the public safety items.
We have a caller, Inez, on Allison Island.
Again, like the other callers, we came to the Zoom meeting to speak about the safety issues, and we're not being allowed.
Yes. Again, we will be having public comment and discussion on this in the next week or two.
Today's
meeting
why
was...
Why not now?
Well, because this meeting was actually a budget meeting, and then a couple things were thrown on here really for the commissioners to discuss with our city manager some items that she has advised us of that she has taken with respect to police enforcement measures. So this was really for that purpose and that purpose only today. But we welcome all comments. But the forum for public comment will be next week and, again, the week after. So we're just trying to get through our budget cycle before our fiscal year starts in 2 weeks.
We're planning.
Okay. Okay, we're done. Okay, John?
I have a. I could just ask him a question.
Yeah, of course.
And that is, John, are there any changes to this and to the other ad valorem budget that would be different from what we discussed previously?
No, there's no changes, and we're only really here at this point in time. We would adopt these assessments and the budgets in July, but because we added some additional public hearing opportunities for the public, we're having to do this before September 15th. And so that didn't line up with our September 17th meeting.
Perfect. I'll move the item.
Second.
Okay.
It's a voice vote.
Okay, let's call the vote.
All those in favor.
Okay.
Say so aye.
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 And the mayor opposed? Is out.
Okay. He's out.
Passes 6-0.
Okay. You want to call the next item?
Yes, sir. The next item is R7. B, it is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, acting in its capacity as a governing body of the Allison Island Security Guard Special Taxing District, adopting the operating budget for the Allison Island Security Guard Special Taxing District for fiscal year 2022. It is not a public hearing.
Move the item.
I'll move it. Second it.
Okay.
Motion passes 6-0.
Yeah.
Okay. The next item is R7C, a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, acting in its capacity as a governing body of the Biscayne Beach Security Guard Special Taxing District, adopting the non-ad valorem assessment rule for annual assessment against real property located within the Biscayne Beach Security Guard Special Taxing District for commencing fiscal year 2022. It is a public hearing, R7C.
Okay. Do we have members from the public who wish to speak on this, either here or on Zoom?
Not on Zoom.
Nothing on Zoom?
I'll move the item.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yep. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item passes.
The next item is a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, acting in its capacity as a governing body of the Biscayne Beach Security Guard Special Taxing District, adopting the operating budget for the Biscayne Beach Security Guard Special Taxing District for fiscal year 2022. R7D, not a public hearing.
I'll move the item.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you. R7E, a resolution of the Mayor and City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, acting in its capacity as a governing body of the Biscayne Point Security Guard Special Taxing District, adopting the non-ad valorem assessment rule for annual assessment against real property located within the Biscayne Point Security Guard Special Taxing District commencing fiscal year 2022. It is a public hearing, R7E.
I'll move the item.
Okay. It's a public hearing. Anyone from the public?
Yes, we have one individual in Zoom, Vilma Biaggi.
Okay. Vilma, is that right? Vilma? Hello, Vilma.
Vilma, please unmute yourself.
Are you hearing me? Yes.
Yes.
I'm a resident in Allison Island.
Okay, I think that's R7A you're calling about, Allison Island. We just voted on that, but if you want to speak, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to speak because I wasn't given a chance before.
Okay, go ahead.
And I am a resident of...
Yeah, Vilma, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm a resident in Allison Island for approximately 40 years. And I've seen the changes, which I appreciate. However, no changes have been done. done, and I would like to know what is planned to do to raise our assessment in such a way that I will be obliged to obey, but I need to know what is going to be done. And when I have you on the line, I mean personally affected by not knowing what is going on with the Brittany Park across our island that is blocked off with not knowing what is going to happen.
Okay, we've already voted on this, but you asked two questions. One is, if I understood correctly, the justification for the assessment, and the second one is the status of what's happening at Brittany Park across the creek from you. Is that right? Two different questions you asked?
She's muted.
Vilma, I think you're muted.
No. I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, you...
No, I'm not.
Did I get your questions correct? You asked for what's the justification for the assessment?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm waiting for you to give me an answer.
I want to make sure I got your question correct. You're asking for justification on the assessment. Is that your question? Assuming that is your question, then I will ask someone from staff to guide us on what the procedure was at Allison Island, because I'm sure they have a homeowners association, and I'm sure they voted and discussed and had multiple meetings on this. So then that will beg the question, where were you, Vilma, when this was all taking place?
Yeah, and I'll just start with a little background. I mean, this district was set up in 1989, so nothing new has happened. Really, what's new is that instead of it being administered by the county, it is now administered by the city. And so we have a process, an annual process, that we work with the HOA to determine what that budget is going to be. We work very closely with them. They voted on it in affirmative. And then we calculate an assessment that supports that budget. That's really
right.
The process.
So in other words, this is, it might be fair to say, largely driven or substantially driven by the Homeowners Association of Allison Island. Okay, so I would ask you, Vilma, maybe talk to your HOA about this. They can probably fill you in better than we can. We've already voted on this. And then you asked what's happening at Brittany Park across the creek from you. Is that right? Somebody want to update us on what's going on over there? Anyone's around?
Vilma, it sounds like you have two devices on. If you mind, if you could just mute one of your devices, it's causing a feedback. So if you could...
If you want to email Vilma, if you don't mind emailing our city manager, she'll have somebody reach out to you and give you a rundown of what's happening at Brittany Park. Okay, let's move on. Our last item is we have to vote on R7E.
Yeah, we have not voted, so I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Who made the motion? I'm sorry, was it you, Commissioner? Okay.
Commissioner Richardson made the motion, and Commissioner Samuelin seconded it.
Thank you. And our last item in this section is R7F, a resolution of the Mayor, City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, acting in its capacity as the governing body of the Biscayne Point Security Guard Special Taxing District, adopting the operating budget for the Biscayne Point Security Guard Special Taxing District for fiscal year 2022. R7F, it is not a public hearing.
I'll move the item.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, that's how you run a meeting.
I did six items
in about 6 minutes. So
to me you have,
I'm going to pass the gavel back to you.
I did feel like you had some issues there at some point.
I never gave him the gavel.
I never gave him the gavel. Okay. All right, let's get to the final issue. Have we done everything but R7?
We've done everything except R9B.
Yeah, R9B. Let's go there.
R9B is discuss, take action, city attorney retirement/selection. Requested by Commissioners Richardson and Samuel.
Okay.
Gentlemen, it's your item. You want to start?
Thank you, Mayor.
I'll weigh in, but I think it's your item, so I'll defer to you to start it.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to start by acknowledging and recognizing Raul, our city attorney. Come on, stand up and take a bow. Come on. Thank you for being here. And it's great to see you, and we're glad that you're doing well. So I put this item on the agenda because we all received a letter dated August 30th, 2021, from Raul. He has a contract that goes through March of next year, but he's asked for us to move forward and for an early retirement in the position that he is currently holding. So just as a way of review, you know, Raul stepped up to be our city manager after manager Morales left and did a fine job for us. And when he did that, it created an opening in the city attorney's office, and this body appointed Rafael Paz to be the interim. And then we thought Raul was coming back, and he did for maybe a day. And then Raul left us again to take care of some personal matters, and Rafael Paz was again named by this body to be the interim. Now, I have to say that, and I don't know if you remember, but I actually made the motion to put Rafael Paz in the position of the interim, because maybe he didn't know it at the time, but I wanted to give him an opportunity to see what this job was like, and I wanted us to have the opportunity to see how he would perform in this job. So it wasn't an audition, but maybe it was. And I think that Rafael Paz did an amazing job for us during this period when he was the interim. I'm so proud that, Raul, you stepped out of your office one day and another person stepped into your shoes and the work continued at the same level. And that's a credit to you, that you built a team. Built a team where the talent was there, that the work could continue with a different leader. And thank you, because some leaders aren't big enough to put that kind of team together. It's a credit to you, really. So the time, I think the time is now for us to consider what we want to do moving forward. I think Rafael has done an amazing job for us as the interim. We've given him the responsibility. We've given him the accountability. But one thing we haven't given him is the ability to shape the office the way it needs to be shaped, the way he views it. So it's difficult when we give somebody responsibility and expect the high caliber work, but we don't allow them the flexibility. Now, I want to speak to some unpleasantness that I've heard, because I've heard some rumors that there's discontent and so forth, and that Rafael's not the right person. And I say hogwash. I went and talked to some attorneys, and with the exception of one attorney who may wish to have the job himself, I would say there is uniform support for the work that Rafael Paz has done. And I am very happy to bring this item and to say publicly I support Mr. Paz. I believe that the morale among the troops in that department is terrific under his leadership, and it will be so if we appoint him in the permanent position. So today I'm making a motion that has a couple of points. The first point is that we name Rafael Paz as our city attorney, effective immediately. The second point
is that I would ask what is normally done is the finance chair, Mr. Areola, would work with Mr. Paz if that motion is passed on a compensation package. And the third point is that it's my wish that we would allow Raul to continue working with our city on a consulting basis through the end of his contract. So that's my motion.
I'm going to second the motion.
Okay.
Mayor, can I be recognized?
Sure.
Yeah. And thank you for Commissioner Richardson for teeing that. First, Raul, it is so good to see you. I think I speak for the entire community. For almost three decades, you've really been an institution. You've been a part of this city. You have done amazing work. We are so grateful. And there's so much we could talk about, and I hope we'll have that time. But I think the way you stepped in to that acting manager position, the way you delivered, the way you kept the trains on schedule, that was amazing, an incredible value during a very tenuous time. So we owe you an incredible debt of gratitude. We are so happy you're here, and I hope we will have the time to, you know, really recognize all your achievements. We can't do 30 years in 30 minutes, but I just want to thank you. And on a personal note, you've been amazingly supportive and helpful to me during my 4 years here, and we're just really happy to have you and wanted to thank you. Rafael Paz is the right person to be our city attorney. From Raul's letter, that is his recommendation, his position. It's my personal view, having worked very closely with Rafael over the 4 years, and especially for the last 9 months when he's had this role. Commissioner Richardson highlighted that this body twice took action and voted for Rafael. We made that view. I have complete confidence in Rafael. I think he is absolutely the right person. And we're dealing with a lot of important issues as a city. This is a very, very challenging time. One of the things I know in organizations, having worked with many over a long time, you want to make sure you have your team in place. The first thing is to have your team in place. And the last thing you need is a lack of clarity of leadership during times of challenge. So I think that this is the right time. I think we all know Rafael. We've seen him in action for 9 months now. Now, you know, one thing I think is a fair point is that, you know, we recently went through a process with our city manager, and we went down a path. And, you know, fair question would be, how does this situation compare, and is it the same or different? And I'm going to tell you why I fundamentally view, for at least three reasons, it's fundamentally different and why I think we should make this decision tonight. First is precedent. In past city manager decisions, there was a search firm brought in. But for past city attorneys, it has been this body that has made this decision. The second is when we had an opening at the city manager, we did not have a recommendation from the departing individual. Manager Morales made a very fine point. He said, I love all my children, which was great. But that wasn't really going to lead us one way. Here we have the person who was at the helm for almost 30 years telling us what he believes is the right decision. Third, at the time of the city manager, Raul was in that position and indicated he did not want to pursue the position. Here, we have someone who's been there 9 months doing the job and who is raising his hand and saying, if it is the will of this body, he will accept it. So those are very, very different situations. This situation now lends itself to us to get clarity in the department. We owe it to the department, and I'm proud to second the motion. I hope the body will make this decision tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Commissioner Areola.
Yeah, look, So I think the world of Rafael, and I truly have worked with you for 6 years now and enjoyed every minute of it, and I think you hold us up very well. But I am very much committed to processes. I did it with the city manager, and I've done it time and again every time there's a job opening. It's rare where I'm going to vote to give someone a job
especially a charter job, without having a process. And so I would encourage, you know, my colleagues, if everyone's confident that Rafael is the man for the job, and I certainly think he's up to the task, but for transparency purposes, for the opportunity to maybe look at people out there that might bring some new looks to the city, I think we owe it to the public to at least have a process. We can expedite it. We can do a 60-day process, 90-day process. We can set up a selection committee, whatever. But just to test the market to see what else is out there, just so we can make an informed decision and we can let the public know that we had a fair, open, and transparent process. I think that's the way we should operate. Clearly, Rafael has an inside track because he's well-known to us and well-regarded by, I think, you know, hopefully all of us. And so that he should fare very well in that selection process. But I do think we owe it to ourselves to have a process that's open and transparent so that the public knows that we don't, you know, just, you know, do, you know, inside City Hall promotions without giving outsiders opportunities. And then let's be mindful that we do have an incoming, you know, at least two new city commissioners coming in who may want to weigh in on this also, because they're going to have to live with the decision that we would make today if we went this route. And I think we owe it to the new commissioners to weigh in on this as well.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say something just because I don't want to. I often get to speak last, but I don't know that it's always. Some of my colleagues like to hear from me earlier than that. But I'm just one vote here. And I appreciate this item. And I appreciate all that's been said about Raul, because honestly, I know we've been texting, but I know I hope you felt the prayers of everybody here, because I don't know that anybody wasn't. And what you were going through was not a minor thing, and we all knew that. And by the way, I think you, we are overjoyed to see you here. So thank you. So I work with the legal department as much as any of you, probably more, frankly, because I get a little bit more of the information that's coming as a focal point. And I have worked with Rafael. I believe him to be a splendid attorney. I really do. I get along with him. He's always been fully responsive to me, as I would hope any attorney would be. And frankly, I always believed he'd be an obvious contender for the permanent appointment of the job, and I gladly supported him on the interim basis because I felt that made the most sense, and he was an obvious choice to do that. And I think what Commissioner Richardson alluded to was some of the lobbying that's going on, you know, is frankly something that, whether you agree with it or not, is clearly had been happening. And I think that goes to Commissioner Ariola's point, which is there's been no process around this. It's really just been, you know, we're last week and a half, we've been lobbied quite a bit, and then we're going to vote. And I find myself in an awkward position of saying, while I suspect I know where I'm going to land on this, I think the process means something. And so I think that we need to do something. I don't, by the way, on the city manager point, Commissioner, I have been utterly consistent in this. When the manager position was up, I believed we didn't need a search. I felt like Jimmy was right. He had three terrific people or more internally, and we could probably have simply advertised the position and then made the decision ourselves and saved 3 or 4 months. The body said, let's do the whole kit and caboodle, and I went along with that because I agree the process means something. For this, I'd say we don't need a search. We do not need a search. Same position I felt with the manager. We do not need a search. But I think we do a disservice to the process if we don't at least advertise the position and at least put, because that is the most, that is the thinnest of processes, but it is a process. And I don't think it's a particularly long one. The only departure I have from Commissioner Vice Mayor Ariola is that I don't know that we have to wait till after November. I would, if HR could put together a advertisement and we could literally select in October, I would be absolutely fine with that. It's not a whole lot of time. But what it does do is if there are folks that are concerned, then it gives them a little bit of time to do that. But it doesn't, I think, change our approach in any way. And I don't think it is a disadvantage to anybody at all. I think that putting a little bit of process on a decision, on such an important decision, and by the way, if you look at our city, the manager is the alpha. Alina, that's you. You're our city attorney is a charter officer, and we get in a lot of scraps, and I feel like that just for purposes of letting the public know that we don't just do things, because the way we would do this, if we vote today, what will happen is we got a very nice letter a week and a half ago. We got calls from lawyers I love telling me what I already knew, which was that Rafael's a great lawyer, and I knew probably better than they know because I work with him, but we would be essentially deciding it with not even an advertisement of the position. And I just feel like that's the littlest we would do. But it's enough in this case, by the way. So I'm not going to support voting today. I would support us directing human resources to put together a very simple, advertisement for the position. I think they can do it quickly. And I think we can simply say in October we will vote. They can shortlist people very easily. It's what they do in a lot of places. And we would get our list, and we could decide then. As I said at the very beginning of this, I think Rafael's a splendid lawyer, and I'd be very happy to have him. But I do think that when you do something without any process, I would hate for people to, what will happen is someone who doesn't like something we did will say, this was done in a way on purpose. It does diminish the governance a little bit when you do that, even if you do it with the best of intentions, And I, by the way, I'm 100% convinced that you have only the best of intentions. I just think sometimes when you avoid any process in government in a decision like this, it's, people sort of wonder, and I don't want them to. I'd like the city attorney and if it is Rafael, I want him to have the unanimous support of this commission and the public, and knowing that we went through a process to appoint him. So that's my feeling. So I don't intend on supporting the vote today, but I would support as early as October an appointment process that I believe HR could do. Commissioner Steinberg. Oh,
okay, thank you. First of all, Raul, it is good to see you, and I'm glad to see you're in good health today, and really appreciate you being here. So I guess I look at this a little differently because I think I may be the only one right now. Oh, yeah, because Michael's not here right now. I'm the only one on the dais that actually served when we appointed Raul. There was no that was the process. That's what we did. We saw him. He had stepped up to the plate. The outgoing kind of city attorney at the time, also gave a recommendation, and so it was a natural inclination to build that succession team because it's such a niche thing. You have to be understanding of municipal law and its government and working with, we're not easy bosses, and also the 90,000 residents. So it's a very interesting, different type of job. And we didn't have an audition for 9 months with Raul. We kind of took a chance on Raul. But we've had that audition with Rafael, and so that's why while normally I agree with you completely on all of the points you made, 100%, I just think that when have we ever had an opportunity to appoint someone that's literally been doing the job for 9 months? And I don't think any of us have been unhappy. Now, if someone's not been happy, I can understand you not wanting to support moving forward. So for me, I look at it differently only because that was my process, 7 years ago.
Okay.
Commissioner Minor, I can count. You're going to be a decider tonight.
I'll tell you, I remember when one of the first things Rafael said when he was in his first meeting, he said he didn't want the full-time position.
And
I remember my reaction was, that's the guy I want as city attorney. He doesn't want it. Well, I'm going to give a lot of accolades to Rafael in a minute, but I am hard-pressed to pass up when some of my colleagues would like to go out and have a process, especially a very short one that the mayor described. So I'm going to have to support that aspect. But I'll tell you, and anybody who's watched me, I'll be critical at times when I think it's necessary, and I've been vocal. But you have won me over. You have been an outstanding city attorney. You have been an incredible help to me. You're really an action-oriented person. You come across maybe a little bit in quiet and demeanor, but when I call you, you literally take the bulls by the horn and run with things so quickly. So I probably shouldn't publicize this so much, because anybody who's thinking of applying in competition, I am saying I'd be hard-pressed to see somebody who can come in and match what you've done. But I guess a couple of things. One, you strike me as a very loyal person, so I don't think you're going to leave in the next 2 months while this process, so maybe that hurts you. Another aspect that gives you, to me, high standing, besides the work you've done, is that you're a resident of Miami Beach. And I've been also vocal that in all things being equal, a chartered position should be a resident of Miami Beach, and you have that going for you. So I am going to stick to the process, but I do want you to know, and my colleagues to know, that I think the world of the work that you've done, and so thank you for that. And let's see how it goes. But you have a fan in me,
Mr. Mayor.
It's a process. That's fine.
I can count, and so if you'll allow me to speak, I'm going to amend my motion.
Of course.
Thank you.
You're the numbers guy.
Thank you. Exactly. And I'll note that one of the commissioner has stepped out. I'm not sure why. I know previously Commissioner Gongora had recused himself. I don't know if he's still recusing himself or not. But anyway, there's six of us here, and I can count, and I respect that. And so that's what we do. We deliberate here. Mm-hmm. And so I'll amend my motion to ask the city manager to post the opening no later than Monday of next week and leave the opening available. Next week is Monday's the 13th, and leave it open until Friday the 24th. I think that's enough time for anyone who's interested to apply. And I would ask that the clerk put an item on the agenda for October 13th. So that we can act on whatever applications we have received and make a decision. That's my motion.
Any objections?
No, I'm going to support that. I'm going to support the amended motion as well. And I respect my colleagues and their different view. I just want to make sure before we vote and close out the item that we also want to address that Raul would still be available to provide services to the city. And I want to make sure that we have addressed that. I mean, he certainly has stepped up for us when we needed him to. And, if he is not going to be in that capacity, I would like to see his services still made available to the city. So I would like to see that addressed. If someone thinks that needs to go to committee, maybe that's the step. But I don't want to leave the conversation. If I missed it, Commissioner Richardson.
I think you've raised a valid point. And I can amend my amended motion. I just assumed that we would continue on as the status quo until we make a decision in October. So
okay.
He's still our city attorney who is on leave.
Okay.
He's made a request. We have not accepted his resignation, and so I just assume we'll continue the status quo until we meet again on October 13th, and maybe by then we would have had an opportunity to talk to him, but it's my view that we should ask him to stay on a consulting basis, but let's just continue him on the status quo until the October 13th.
Okay, he's here, and if he doesn't object to that, if that's the intent of the motion, I support that and second the motion as you described it.
Okay, and let the record show he was shaking his head. No, he does not oppose. Continue on the status quo. So,
Vice Mayor?
Yeah, so Just so I understand your motion, basically immediately post the job opening. I think you gave the direction to the city manager as of by Monday, get that posted?
Yeah, get it posted no later than Monday close of business and leave it open until September 24th, which will be 2 work weeks.
I mean, I would ask for a month, you know, just so we get enough resumes and interested parties. I mean, if we want to have an open and transparent process, let's at least give it a...
So you would like until the Monday, the 11th of October, 2 days before. The problem with that is it's only going to give us 2 days to evaluate all the applications.
Well, that was my next point, which is I just want to give sufficient time for people to consider it and submit, and then we got to filter through those resumes. And then the question then becomes, what's the selection process? Because if we're just looking at resumes, that's not going to give any of us the opportunity to know the person behind the resume. Do you want to put together a selection committee? You know, what's the process for reviewing these resumes?
Can I weigh in? You know, I think HR can actually perform the function of giving us who they think are the, you know, the 3 or 4 candidates and send their resumes to us. And I think if you give us a week, we can do whatever due diligence each of us wants to do. I don't think we need to go through anything close to the process we did with the manager.
Commissioner Ariolo, instead of, I propose posting no later than close of business on the 13th and leaving it open until Friday the 24th, what if we leave it open 3 weeks and close it on Friday, October 1st? That will give us 10 days for HR to put together any package, and I think 3 weeks is enough time for people, anyone interested, to make an application.
We also have a meeting on the 27th. That's helpful. October 27th.
We have a meeting on the 27th. We do. It is a awards meeting.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a quick question?
I'm just curious. I suspect that it's been quite some time before, you know, since an advertisement for the city attorney has gone out, and we will obviously review the language in the job description. Is there any specific criteria, qualification that you'd like to make sure is included in that advertisement that you want to put on the record right now? I can certainly have HR work on something tomorrow and circulate it very quickly and communicate with each of you. But is there anything specific, years of experience?
I mean, I think I'm still on the mic. I'll just throw out some things. Clearly, you know, very, very strong knowledge and credentials dealing with municipal law. You know, certainly here in Dade County, if they know Miami Beach, that'd be even better. But certainly at least laws pertains to Dade County municipal law, either practicing or former elected official or judge or, you know, so whatever those that background might be will weigh heavily. Demonstrated history of managing a team, building a team and managing a department, impeccable credentials, impeccable reputation, ability to work with an elected body. It's, you know, they're going to have 7 bosses. So, you know, that for me, just off the top of my head, would be among the things I would be screening for.
And if I could add, Mr. Mayor, those are great points, Vice Mayor. I would just add that I think it's important that we have somebody that understands the nuances of working in a city with a lot of tourism, because we have a lot of tourism-related issues and development, hotel development, that sort of thing. And we ask our attorneys to get involved in drafting all sorts of agreements related to those activities. So that's something else I'll be looking at.
Okay, and by the way, you can circulate something and formally hear from what commissioners say. I couldn't fathom that any of my colleagues are going to create a criteria that, I shouldn't say that, okay, that would be objectionable. So.
Well, I would say, Rafael, how old are you? Well, it's an inappropriate HR question, but he's somewhere in his 40s, impeccably dressed, great choice in gray suits, yes. Wears glasses. So those would be the criteria that
I would also put in an interim position.
And is at the office till 9 o'clock every night and on weekends.
Yeah. Commissioner Ariola, is it okay with you? Because I really want us to have consensus on this, the timeline that I proposed.
Yeah, I think that's 3 weeks is a fair compromise.
So, Madam Manager, if Madam Manager, do you think it's possible that we could get this posted by close of business on the 13th, which will be Monday?
Getting a yes from taxes.
You're getting a yes from...
We're going to do everything possible. Perfect. We just have to meet the deadlines, you know,
okay.
The publications.
And we'll close it at close of business 5 p.m. on October 1st.
And can HR do give us sort of a packet, to the extent that they, in whatever they, I mean, they, it's not the first human resource issue they've had to deal with. So,
we will.
Mr. Tax is giving me a nod
prepared
on that. Okay. All right. So, do we all have the motion?
Yep.
Without objection? Thank you. Okay. I think that's it, folks.
See you next week.
What?
Next week.
See you next week. Have a good week.
Thank you.